the wild thing that starts at the fall and goes up.
And how much further up are the headwaters?
Well, that ridgetop is the headwaters. That's where all the water originating and flowing into San Antonio Peaks County. Went over that ridge, we'd be dropping down into the desert.
Can you look at how tilted that rock is?
Yeah.
Man.
Major tectonic.
Oh
forces.
My. That's 45 degrees.
Yeah.
Well, this is a sight you don't usually see in this part of the state.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of waterfalls around here because the mountains are so steep.
Well, we're fortunate, too, because we got some precipitation.
Yeah, I was actually worried because, you know, it's snowy and the water tends to sort of freeze up.
Yeah.
Good morning, I'm Tommy Howe, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. Tree Huggers International is a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program dedicated to the preservation of parks, wildlands, and special places, from the beaches to the mountains to the deserts. This is Tree Huggers International. Be careful and use this show with caution, because you might just learn something. It's an exciting time right now for wilderness advocates in Southern California, with legislation already introduced in Congress to create two brand new national monuments and a half dozen wilderness areas in the Mojave Desert as part of the current Desert Protection Act. And there's also two new wilderness additions being proposed in northern San Diego County, and three potential wilderness area expansions have been proposed in the San Gabriel Mountains in Los Angeles County, and they're receiving significant public support. And in all of these new and enlarged wilderness proposals, there's also proposed wild and scenic river designations for several waterways, including portions of the San Diego River, Santa Margarita River, and, as you just heard, San Antonio Creek in the San Gabriel Mountains. Despite the recession and ongoing concerns over unemployment and the cost of living in the Golden State, the population of Southern California continues to swell, and the need to protect and set aside our few remaining truly wild and scenic areas is more important than ever. While the location of many of these wilderness and wild and scenic river proposals are in truly non-urban spaces far away from civilization, they remain in danger of abusive, damaging recreation, and also are important for providing wildlife corridors, natural resources like fresh water, clean air, which all are clearly a benefit to any region of the country, especially one as populated and with the kind of delicate ecological diversity and as dry as Southern California. Joining us today to talk about these new wilderness and wild and scenic river proposals are two friends of Tree Huggers International. Steve Evans, the conservation director for the Sacramento-based organization Friends of the River, and Daniel Rossman, a Southern California regional associate with the Wilderness Society's Los Angeles office. Steve, Daniel, it's great to have the two of you here today. Welcome to Tree Huggers International.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to be here.
We just had David Edelson from the Wilderness Society's California and Nevada office on the program, and we talked a bit about the Wilderness Society's history and mission. So, Steve, I was hoping you could start us off by talking about Friends of the River and your organization's mission.
Sure. We're about 35 years old now. We were organized in 1973. It was actually a group of commercial whitewater river guides who got together and wanted, were concerned about the impending threat to the Stanislaus River in the Sierra foothills from the filling of the new Maloney's Dam. So they formed Friends of the River to try to stop that. It was a 10-year, decade-long battle that we eventually lost, but we took the hard-won lessons from that campaign and began applying it to rivers and streams throughout California. So today we're the statewide river conservation organization in California, and one of the many things we work on is to preserve free-flowing streams and rivers that have outstanding values in the wild and scenic river system.
What would an outstanding value of a wild or scenic river be?
Well, one of the ones I think that people relate to best are outstanding recreation and scenic values. It's interesting, rivers and streams attract human interest and use today just as they did 1,000 years ago. Just north of here, you can take a walk along the Santa Margarita River and enjoy a trail, you know, in an urban area and have great fun. And then you come to a bit of bedrock in the stream, and there's some Indian grinding holes that were used 1,000 years ago. So these areas of water and relatively dry terrain attract human interest today as they did 1,000 years ago.
The Stanislaus River campaign was really a benchmark campaign in conservation, even though it ended in a loss. And it was something of a landmark. Can you talk a little bit about what happens to rivers, especially in that part of the state, once they're dammed? I mean, if a dam is removed, can the rivers ever be the same as they were before?
Well, they can. This nation had embarked on a many decade-long effort to build dams on rivers that provide us with important services, water, flood control, power generation. And so we've gained a lot from dams, but we've also lost a lot as well. There's over 1,400 major dams in California. Very few rivers in California have no dams on them. And as a result, we've lost something like 90% of our riverside riparian habitat, it's called. Salmon and steelhead in California have lost 95% of their habitat, been blocked by dams. They can't get past those dams. And so there's very few free-flowing rivers and remaining in California, so that's why we're working to preserve them. But you can also remove dams and restore rivers, and that's being done in many places. It tends to be faster and work easier for smaller dams. But, you know, there's a couple of big dam removal projects here in Southern California, the Mtilaha Dam on the Ventura River. That's over a 100-foot-high dam. It's completely full of sediment. It no longer stores water. It no longer generates power. All it does is block steelhead and migration up into the upper reaches of the river. So there's quite an effort to look at removing that. But because it's a big dam, it's expensive, and there's a lot of issues that have to be resolved first.
What do you do with all that sediment?
Well, that's the big, actually, on the Mtilaha Dam Removal Project, that's a big issue, what to do with the sediment. And they haven't resolved that yet. You know, one of the good things, particularly here in Southern California, when you remove a dam, you're restoring the ability of the landscape to feed sand into the ocean and therefore replenish our beaches. One of the reasons Southern California beaches are eroding away is because we've built all these dams that are now just sand catches. And so the source of sand that used to keep our beaches wide and clean is no longer there. So once we start removing some dams, you'll see some beach restoration going on naturally.
And Daniel, we're looking at wilderness expansions being proposed for the three wilderness areas in the San Gabriel Mountains, and that includes the Cucamonga, Sheep Mountain, and San Gabriel wilderness areas. What are some of the natural resources and natural features there that are really worth protecting? I mean, is it like bighorn sheep habitat, or is it more lower elevation kind of areas?
Well, one of the amazing things about the San Gabriel Mountains is you have such a stark contrast between both of those peaks ranging from 1,000 feet to 10,000 feet. And these really massive stark range are host to a lot of wildlife. The bighorn sheep you mentioned is famously there. It's also home to aquatic species such as the mountain yellow-legged frog or the Santa Ana sucker. Mountain lions and bears all live in these wild places.
How has the response been locally to some of these proposals?
It's been incredible. We have garnered the support from many local citizens. Polling shows 4-1, they favor protecting the San Gabriel Mountains with wilderness and wild and scenic river designations. 7 cities have signed on right now. Others are in the process of passing resolutions in support of our campaign goals.
It's probably safe to say, and I want to talk about the California Desert Act, which is on the table right now, as well as northern San Diego County, but I would think that the San Gabriels, of all of these places that we've been talking about, really have been subject to the most frequent use and greatest amount of use simply because they are right next to the second largest city in the United States. Has it been found perhaps in some of these wilderness areas that those wilderness areas need additional breathing space because of all the people?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't just make the comparisons locally. I mean, the Angeles National Forest gets more visitors than Yellowstone National Park. It's one of the most heavily visited national forests in the entire country. A recent study by the National Park Service illustrated it's within 90 minutes of 15 million people. One of our other goals that we're working towards will also help address that problem of intense recreation, and that's a national recreation area designation, which will help give the Forest Service an ability to manage this intense recreation in a way that they just don't have the capacity to do now.
Do you find people are surprised to learn that there's waterfalls in the San Gabriel Mountains? Because I think people tend to think of that as a very dry range.
Yeah, very much so. It's amazing. Despite the fact portions of the San Gabriel Mountains are heavily visited and heavily used, there are secrets there that a large majority of people in the Los Angeles area just don't know about. And we hiked up to San Antonio Falls and San Antonio Creek near Baldy Village. I didn't know it was there until we started working on this campaign. So it's pretty amazing. The San Gabriel River is a heavily visited spot on the forest. And we're hoping to garner not only wilderness protection for the upper portions of those watersheds, but wild and scenic protection for the San Gabriel River in particular, which is the home, the only home to the endangered Santa Ana sucker, which is a native fish found nowhere else in the world. And one of the things about wild and scenic, in addition to wilderness, is that the designation requires the agency to develop a management plan 3 years after designation that we hope will give the Forest Service the tools to identify the resources they need to better manage these areas, to figure out how much it's going to cost and get the money to put up signs to enhance visitor use, to have rangers on hand during busy summer weekends, to have signs in Spanish. There's very heavy Latino use of the San Gabriel River, and doesn't do any good to have signs in English if people can't read them. We're really hoping that this is not just protecting areas, but also giving the tools to the agency to better manage them, to not only protect the resources, but provide for better visitor experience.
You know, Daniel, as I understand it, there is a little bit of urgency as far as these potential wilderness additions in the San Gabriel Mountains are concerned with Congressman Dreyer. Is that correct?
That's definitely true. We're encouraged that Congressman Dreyer has indicated that he's interested in a bill that would protect these wild places. But to see that bill sort of catch the legislative train, so to speak, potentially, like we saw in 2009, these bills that are happening across the state and across the country are moving through the legislative process. And to get added on to that in what they call an omnibus bill, we would need to see Congressman Dreyer introduce legislation in the next 1 to 2 months. So you can learn more about this legislation and how to contact Congressman Dreyer by going to sangabrielmountains.org.
sangabrielmountains.org. That's like the San Gabriel Mountains forever. Is that correct?
That is correct.
SanGabrielMountains.org for more information on that. And there's a link where you can contact Congressman Dreyer's office from there?
His contact info is on there, or you can sign up to get involved on our site.
Well, and let's move on to an area that is absolutely enormous, and that is the area being discussed for the California Desert Protection Act. And we should clarify, it's different from the 1994 Protection Act, which Senator Feinstein was also behind, but she's behind this current one as well. This will create 2 new national monuments in the Mojave Desert and 5 new wilderness areas. Would it, first of all, be safe to say that this is going to cover areas that simply were left out of the 1994 bill, or were these areas identified back in 1994 and somehow negotiated out?
Well, in one small part, it is sort of Desert Protection Act 2. It addresses some areas that were left out of the 1994 bill because at the time the military was investigating the possibility of expanding their training grounds into some of those areas. They've since decided to expand elsewhere, and these areas remain unprotected. So the initial effort was, well, it's time to add these areas to the system. In addition, there was, at the same time, since the passage of the 1994 Desert Protection Act, thousands and thousands of acres of private land that was originally had been donated from the public domain to the railroad companies for a development of rail lines through the desert. While they developed rail lines in some places, but in others they didn't, so they own like every other square mile of the desert. That land had been acquired. A major philanthropist donated millions of dollars to acquire that land, donate it back to the public, to the BLM, for conservation purposes. But at the same time, we've embarked on a new effort to expand renewable energy development in the California desert. And one of the concerns was, well, that land wasn't acquired at cost and donated back to the public to have renewable energy developed on it. It was developed to conserve natural resources. So, you know, one of the focuses of the bill is to establish national monuments in the Mojave Desert that will ensure that those lands are protected from renewable energy development while making it clear that other portions of the desert are available for energy development.
You know, one of the things that I find very interesting about these current wilderness proposals, whether it's in the San Gabriels or in the Mojave or in San Diego County, is they are being designed with the idea of making corridors. I haven't seen much of that happen in the West until recently, and I think it's a great idea and a great approach and a great component to wilderness plans. So you're not necessarily going to have an island of conservation, you're going to have this corridor. And the great thing about the 2010 California Desert Protection Act is it seems to have these wilderness areas which literally fill in the spaces as buffers between the National Park Service areas like Death Valley, Mojave National Preserve, Joshua Tree National Park, and these national monuments function in that as well.
Correct. And you know, it leaves, I don't know the percentage, but it leaves a goodly portion of the California desert still open to renewable energy development, and that process is going on down the road, and certain areas will be developed and certain areas won't. But because of that, it is a complicated bill. It's not just wilderness. There's also actually four wild and scenic rivers proposed in that bill, two of which flow out of the San Bernardino Mountains, Deep Creek, which flows out of the mountains in the Mojave Desert North, and then the Whitewater River, which flows out of the San Bernardino Mountains into the Coachella Valley Desert to the southeast. And there's a couple of others. So it's got wilderness, it's got wild and scenic rivers, it's got national monuments. It has language dealing with renewable energy development on other BLM lands. It even designates some off-road vehicle recreation areas. You know, so there's something in this bill that everybody likes, and there's something in this bill that a lot of people don't like. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be going through an amendment process, a committee hearing process, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of input on it.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International, broadcast from the studios of KBZT FM 94.9 in San Diego. I'm Tommy Helm, and we're joined in the studio today by Steve Evans, the Conservation Director for Friends of the River, and Daniel Rossman, a Southern California Regional Associate with the Wilderness Society. For more information on Friends of the River, go to friendsoftheriver.org. That's www.friendsoftheriver.org. And for more information on the Wilderness Society, you can go to wilderness.org. That's www.wilderness.org. And for more on the initiative to expand wilderness areas in the San Gabriel Mountains, go to sangabrielmountains.org for the website of San Gabriel Mountains Forever. That's sangabrielmountains.org. And you mentioned, Steve, the White River coming out of the San Bernardino Mountains. That's part of the Santa Snow National Monument,
right?
Correct?
The Whitewater River. It literally starts at the highest summits of the San Bernardino Mountains, a place called 10,000 Foot High Ridge, and then flows all the way down through the mountains into the Coachella Valley Desert. It's incredible, and it flows year-round, and it's one of the most undeveloped, pristine watersheds in the entire Southern California region.
Is it unusual for a national monument designation, which would also be covering wilderness, to cover an entire watershed like that from the top to the bottom?
Well, you know, I can't speak outside of California, but I think that strategy was enshrined when Congresswoman Mary Bono Mack established the Santa Rosa San Jacinto National Monument just across the interstate, actually, in the San Jacinto and Santa Rosa Mountains near Palm Springs. And so they tried to encompass, that national monument encompasses portions of the San Bernardino Forest, it encompasses BLM lands, and encompasses some Native American tribal reservations as well. So the idea was to, you know, try to coordinate management of a much larger area and the preservation of its natural resources.
And I think going back to your broader point, looking at the landscape not necessarily matching the designations, there is a real effort, I think, within the conservation movement, particularly within the Wilderness Society, to make those political boundaries match the ecological boundaries, which is not always the case.
The proposed Mojave Trail's National Monument has gained some press from what I've read, not only because of its size, but also because of its proximity to old U.S. 66. Are there potential economic benefits from new tourism for the businesses which may be located on this otherwise sparse stretch of roadway?
Absolutely. And in fact, one of the names that was kicked around for that national monument was the Mother Road National Monument, the Highway 66 or Route 66 National Monument, but they decided on something different. But one of its purposes will be to highlight the role that Route 66 played in the development of California. And, you know, it's very historical. There's a lot of historical resources along that highway that, you know, are open to public interpretation if we can get an agency out there to put up the interpretive displays and so forth.
I think that's great to have something like Route 66 sort of encompassed in a national monument like that, because not only are you preserving this bit of Americana, but you're also preserving all these adjoining natural areas, which are really amazing, which travelers perhaps in the 50s and 60s when the road was being used more frequently maybe never really appreciated.
I would say that those natural places are the best part of Americana, and I think these designations highlight them and raise them to a level that brings people out and brings an appreciation. So there have been numerous studies that have shown that designating wilderness helps boost local economies by attracting new tourism, by helping preserve real estate values for those folks that want to continue to have those beautiful views. And I believe similar studies have been done for wild and scenic rivers as
well. Yeah, studies of existing wild and scenic rivers in the national system show that a visitor to a designated river will spend anywhere from $40 to $60 a day into the local economy during their visit. And if it's a multi-day visit, then it's even more money, obviously. But these things do contribute substantially to local economies that are tourism-based.
Well, let's talk about the Darrell Issa bill, which would add onto a wilderness areas that have already been established by Congressman Bona Mack in Riverside County, but they would be on the San Diego County side of these areas. That would be the Beauty Mountain and Agua Tibia wilderness areas.
Basically, last year, Congress passed a bill and President Obama signed it that included a piece of legislation that Congresswoman Bona Mack had introduced for public lands in her district in Riverside County, and it included establishment of a rather small Beauty Mountain wilderness right on the Riverside San Diego County line and a small addition to the existing Agua Tibia wilderness. If you go over the county line into San Diego, there's more roadless land adjacent to those areas. And so we approached Congressman Issa and said, look, here's this opportunity. And he was very interested in it. We took him and his wife and some of his staff on a field trip and looked at the areas. We've pored over maps and looked at boundaries. And so he has introduced a bill that would add about 13,000 acres to Beauty Mountain and another 7,000 or so acres to the Agua Tibia Wilderness, which is one of the original wilderness areas established with the passage of the Wilderness Act in 1964. One of our educational efforts is we partner with a group called Lighthawk, which has volunteer pilots who own their own planes, and we get in these light airplanes and fly folks who aren't familiar with these areas over the areas we're working to protect. And you can really see it from the air, is that these oases of public lands, relatively undeveloped in the case of the Beauty Mountain and Agua Tibia additions, undeveloped, and surrounded by private land that's very quickly being developed. You go from urban areas to suburban areas to 5-acre ranchettes and, you know, areas that just 20 years ago were, you know, maybe had one ranch and now have 500 5-acre ranchettes. That is breaking up the habitat all over the place. So these little core areas of public lands are undeveloped, are very essential for our fish and wildlife, very essential habitat, and there's an effort to connect these with corridors so that, you know, there can be migration of species over the landscape. And they also provide important opportunities for recreation as well.
Do you think Congressman Issa was surprised to come to appreciate the potential recreation opportunities? Was he even aware they were really there?
Yeah, particularly Beauty Mountain is a relatively unknown area. And it hasn't been until recently that people have really come to appreciate it. And one of the things that his bill does is we've worked very hard to not close any roads. There's some Jeep trails that are unused or have been washed out that are being closed, but there's some roads that we've cherry-stemmed. That is, you know, the boundaries come up to the edge of the road, but the road remains open. So there's a major north-south road between Chihuahua and Anza Valleys, and then there's a side road that will lead you to an area that we've set the boundary back so a campground could be established there. So equestrians and hikers could camp in the area and then range out into the wilderness from there. And that, and you know, we're taking advantage of the existing road system to do that, and that makes these areas a little bit more accessible and also ensures that, you know, a wide variety of users can visit it.
And this is all part of the North San Diego County Wild Heritage Campaign.
Correct.
Which also includes potential wild and scenic river designations, especially on the Santa Margarita River, like you mentioned, San Mateo Creek, which I'm very, very happy to see, and also some potential wilderness areas like San Ysidro Mountain. That's a hell of a climb,
right?
Going up that thing. Yeah. Some of the areas around the Los Coyotes Indian Reservation, the west edge of Anza-Borrego Desert State Park, these are remarkably wild areas, and again, would contribute to an overall corridor.
Right, and one of the things, some of these Caliente proposed wilderness, San Ysidro proposed wilderness, San Felipe Hills, they're relatively small areas, but they're directly adjacent to the Anza-Borrego State Park wilderness. So basically, we're expanding that core habitat and ensuring that it's protected beyond just the boundaries of the state park. A couple of those areas are also the route to the Pacific Crest Trail, Caliente and San Felipe Hills. Probably the most gorgeous thing we saw today on the Lighthawk flight was the San Diego River Gorge, which is a completely trailless gorge that you really need to know what you're doing if you're going to bushwhack your way down in there. And after the kind of rainy season we've had this year, incredible waterfalls. Mildred Falls, which is well over 100 feet, maybe a couple of hundred feet tall, we saw from the plane. It was just gushing in white, you know, sheets down over this incredible cliff. And I get excited by this stuff. and I think anybody would. So it's we're hoping, as part of the conversation with Representative Issa over his bill, we're hoping to be able to talk to him about potentially adding some of these other areas like the San Diego River Gorge.
Is that Forest Service land or BLM?
It's these areas are a combination of national forests and BLM land. Santa Margarita River is even a little bit more complicated. It's a combination of...
It's Camp Pendleton, right?
Well, what we're proposing as a wild and scenic river is upstream of Camp Pendleton and downstream of Temecula and the Interstate 15 crossing. It includes portions of the San Diego State University Reserve. It includes lands managed for recreation and watershed by the Fallbrook Public Utilities District, some BLM lands, some state fish and game lands. It's kind of a pattern of public and semi-public lands in there. But most of the other areas are national forests and BLM lands. And San Diego River Gorge is national forest, and the San Diego River Coalition here in San Diego has endorsed its protection. That includes not only, you know, the usual suspects in the environmental movement, but water districts and local governments and local agencies. So there's a lot of enthusiasm behind these areas.
You've also been talking with Congressman Sam Farr from Monterey County about some areas along the Central Coast, Big Sur to be specific, in Monterey County, and also regarding a Pinnacles National Monument. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Congressman Farr introduced and passed a nice little wilderness bill in 2002 that added 54,000 acres to the existing Ventana and Silver Peak wilderness areas near Big Sur.
Amazing areas.
Yeah, amazing
areas.
Just amazing. And at the time, you know, we said, well, you know, there's potential wild and scenic rivers in that area, too. And he said, well, let's work on those. So He has introduced a bill that would designate about 90 miles of wild and scenic rivers on national forest lands in Monterey County. Right now, the Big Sur River is already a wild and scenic river, but this would include the Arroyo Seco River, which flows east out of the those mountains into the Salinas watershed, and the San Antonio River, and a couple of smaller creeks. And these are incredibly valuable streams with lots of recreational potential and a lot of Native American cultural values as well, San Antonio River in particular. He's introduced that bill. The bill also makes technical corrections to his 2002 Wilderness Act, where we've included a fence line in one area, so we're adjusting the boundary there, and we're pushing it out into another area to compensate for the loss of acreage. But he's introduced a separate bill that would both expand the Pinnacles National Monument Wilderness and redesignate the monument a national park, which gives it a higher level of protection and higher level of sort of management by the National Park Service. His district is incredible in terms of its natural, from Big Sur to the Pinnacles, from the Coast Range to the Salinas Valley. He's got a pretty diverse district with a lot of natural resources in it.
Well, the first time I came up, we went on a hike and we were hiking in and we just took a rest, and I had my ear out and I said, well, this is kind of disappointing. You can hear, you know, the rush of the traffic far away.
Yeah.
And we noticed that the trees were moving, and in fact it was the wind rustling through the trees. And you really can find solitude from that urban metropolis.
Yeah, very much so. Well, that's why I like the San Gabriels. They're just so accessible, and they really are beautiful. And it's it's just a rugged landscape here. These mountains always seem so tortured to me. I mean, these are just some steep slopes. And this was one of the areas that wasn't in the omnibus bill, and it wasn't one of the ones that was identified by the Forest Service in 05.
Well, the roadless edition. And the Forest Service identified San Antonio Creek as being eligible for wild and scenic, but they didn't finish their study. It's kind of a two-step.
Mm-hmm.
Is the stream eligible? That was a free flowing and have one or more outstanding values. Then the second step is, should be recommended for designation. They failed to do that because they just sort of ran out of money and staff. So be careful here. He's our reporter.
I have to say, the San Gabriels top the list. And whether that's in the heat of the summer, going to the San Gabriel River, cooling off, resting in the shade under some live oak trees, or in the winter, climbing up to the snow-covered peaks under some of the largest big cone firs in all of Southern California, throwing a snowball or seeing a kid see snow for the first time. It's a really magical place. Coming from Florida, you don't realize what a real peak is. I mean, the highest spot in Florida is 385 feet or something like that. And so coming to a place where you can go from 1,000 feet to 10,000 feet above sea level, it's an amazing experience. And I think that ruggedness, which John Muir, when he was hiking in the San Gabriels, said was one of the most rugged places he had ever been, is even lost on many folks in the Los Angeles region who don't make it all the way up to those peaks and sort of see it from their windshield. And it does hold a majesty, even from afar, but I definitely recommend getting up close.
Steve, what are some of your favorite places to go here in California?
Here in San Diego County, I'd have to say Santa Margarita River is pretty incredible. It's easy to get to, really nice hiking. In a few minutes, you're out of the urban area and into this beautiful river that flows year-round. The San Gabriels are pretty nice as well. I actually was born and raised here in Southern California, grew up in the Mojave Desert, and when it got really hot in the desert, we'd drive up into the San Bernardino Mountains to Lake Arrowhead, and we'd stop and go swimming in Deep Creek on the way, and so I'm really happy that Deep Creek is a proposed wild and scenic river in Senator Feinstein's desert bill. So it, there, I have a family connection to that that I find valuable. But even though I live and have lived in Northern California for 30 years now, it's these Southern California wild places are very, very special. They're very different, and they deserve protection.
Steve Evans from Friends of the River, Daniel Rossman from the Wilderness Society, really great having you guys here today. I appreciate you making it down. I know you're very, very busy, and I just really appreciate your time today. And it was good seeing you back in December, and it was good seeing you guys today. Steve, Daniel, we will see you guys next time. And good luck with everything going on this year. It's busy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Tree Huggers International. I'm Tommy Howe. Thanks once again to Daniel Rossman from the Wilderness Society in Los Angeles. And also thanks to Steve Evans from Friends of the River in Sacramento. Thanks to both for coming by and talking more about current wilderness proposals and wilderness extensions, and also wild and scenic river proposals in the San Gabriel Mountains, in the current Desert Protection Bill in Congress, and in northern San Diego County. In order to get on the legislative train, to paraphrase Daniel, action needs to be taken quickly on different proposals in the San Gabriel Mountains, with proposed additions to the Sheep Mountain, Cucamonga, and San Gabriel Wilderness areas, and also potential wild and scenic river designations for the north, west, and east forks of the San Gabriel River, San Antonio Creek, Lytle Creek, and Little Rock Creek. And a great resource and website for all of this information is San Gabriel Mountains Forever, including information on how to contact Congressman David Dreyer in California's 26th District. You can go to sangabrielmountains.org. That's www.sangabrielmountains.org. Also, for more information on the wilderness and wild and scenic proposals in northern San Diego County, in Congressman Daryl Issa's 49th District, and throughout the Desert Protection Bill, largely sponsored by California Senator Dianne Feinstein, go to the websites for the Wilderness Society at wilderness.org. That's www.wilderness.org. You can also go to the website for Friends of the River, where you can get an excellent lowdown on the proposed wild and scenic river designations in all of these areas, including San Antonio Creek, the San Diego River, Santa Margarita River, the Whitewater River. Go to friendsoftheriver.org. That's www.friendsoftheriver.org. You can also call Friends of the River in Sacramento, their office there, 916-442-3155. And the Wilderness Society's Los Angeles office can be reached at area code 213-514-4030. All of this information can be found at the Tree Huggers International website at www.treehuggersintl.com. You can also access the Tree Huggers International page from the FM949 website at www.fm949sd.com. The opinions and views expressed on Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of FM94.9 or Lincoln Financial Media, and as producer, I am solely responsible for this program's content. Questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, you can email me at tommy@fm949sd.com, or you can contact me via the Tree Huggers International website at www.treehuggersintl.com. Also, at the Tree Huggers International website, you can listen to and download previous editions of the show. You can see photos and read more about the stories discussed, and new shows are always made available via podcast. www.treehuggersintl.com. That's treehuggersintl.com. This is Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9, in San Diego. We'll be back same time next Sunday morning with another take on natural science and environmental affairs as we continue our mission to preserve parks, wildlands, and special places on Tree Huggers International. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and be well.